You're tuned in to Agriculture Today. Glad to have you aboard as we pick up on the cattle market trends. Alongside, once again, is livestock economist with K-State Research and Extension, Glenn Tonzer. And regrettably, Glenn, we're coming off of a down week for the markets once again, right across the board.
Yeah, we are. And I'll break it down here. But an overriding reaction would be, I think the general commodity markets, not even just cattle and grain, are a little bit in turmoil, consistent with the stock market, if you like. Mm-hmm. And I don't claim to be a geopolitical expert, but anybody that watched the news this past week, there was kind of off the charts concerns about our relation with North Korea and so forth. And I only note that because you have regular fundamentals and you have outside forces, and I would consider that an outside force that I think actually influenced particularly the board this past week. So with that as a kind of a summary comment, the August live cattle contract was down about $6 for the week. We ended Friday just under 110. The August feeder cattle contract was down about $7 for the week, and we ended just below 142. The cash market wasn't down as much, both feeder and fed. On the fed side, on Friday, the five market average, we had over 44,000 head sold, so it was pretty thick trade, if you like. It was about 115. That was down a little bit more than $2 for the week. And then feeder cattle actually started the week, Monday and I believe Tuesday as well, were up, and then we ended the week down very strong. So on balance, we were down $3 to $10, depending upon which market. Last week, I would quote, the Pratt market was Thursday trade, over 4,000 head sold. One example, 700, 800 pound weight class traded between 144, 148, and that was down as well, I believe $4 for the week. So on balance, it was a down week, as you noted. We were down more on the board than cash, and that's not surprising because I'm quoting end of the week board numbers, and it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday concerns that I'll just call it the global trade spiked. For those that follow that, there's something called a fear index, which is actually monitoring basically what people will pay for the options, the right to protect themselves against big moves, and that spiked. That occurs when global concerns about geopolitical issues escalate, and we definitely had that this past week.
Before we move on here, our history with geopolitical events, well, there are many episodes such as this over the years. Has the cattle market tended to bounce back as rapidly as it retreats in the face of these?
Well, it often does, but I want to be careful not to promise that to occur here. So some examples. Many of our listeners have more experience and more gray hair than I do, so they can think of a longer list of events. But one more recent one I'll just offer would be the Brexit. So we had a version of this when Brexit occurred. And on balance, the markets, quote unquote, bounced back once we figured out the details of that. But importantly, even today, we're still trying to figure out what the trade implications of Britain pulling out and what the relationship's going to be with continental Europe versus the U.S. and so forth. So the actual details of the economic environment after a geopolitical kind of escalation can be multiple years. So even the Brexit was multiple years. And the only reason I highlight that is not that I think we're going to have years and years of discussion with North Korea. I have no clue in that specific space. Mm-hmm. But even if the market, quote unquote, bounces back a little bit from here, time will tell what the formal relationship with them is. And probably most importantly, what China's role in that is and what we do or don't do on the trade front with China is probably a bigger economic story than anything we would directly do with North Korea. So most people probably recognize North Korea is not a major importer of U.S. beef. That's right. Not the reason I'm talking about this. It's indirect impact on many other things. Anytime you have growing concerns about war, that tends to spike the value of gold and other safe havens, and other things tend to take a step back. So to answer your question a little more directly, yes, we tend to bounce back, but I don't want to promise that because sometimes you have a long tail of figuring out the actual economic environment we're going to be operating in.
We'll see what transpires on that front this week for sure. Hopefully something will clarify to the good. On the demand side, cutout values last week?
Yeah, so cutout values are down as well. Choice cutout was down about $4. We broke $200 this week, so $199.60 is what we closed Friday at. Select cutout was down a little over a dollar, so $196 and change. That's worth noting because it's not just the board reacting to concerns in North Korea. We actually have some product movement concerns. It's consistent with the cutout. This week, we had a pullback for what we might call fundamental reasons in the market, and then I'm trying to allude to the fact that I think we had some outside-the-market forces, particularly on the board, but both were bearish this past week. Going forward, there's definitely growing concern. I think a lot of it's built into the market already, but growing concern about lots of animals that were placed in the last cattle on feed. You know, the cattle on feed report was particularly bearish this past one. We will watch what this upcoming August one looks like, but exactly how we're able to move those cattle, through the rest of 2017 and even early 2018, I think is continuing to weigh on these markets. The balance of that, I think, is built in, and that's the reason for the major pullback the last few weeks. The feeder cattle side of this, we're fairly late in the game to kind of understand what the corn market's going to be. My colleague Dan O'Brien could speak to that more than I would, but there's still what I would deem a little more uncertain about that yield's going to be than we're used to. The reason that's relevant is if we have a big corn crop, by whatever the term big means here, and we have cheap, whatever cheap means corn, that's very supportive for feeder cattle values. We all recognize that, but I think there's less certainty that we're going to have a big, cheap corn crop than maybe we anticipated in the past, and that's adding some uncertainty, particularly in the feeder cattle complex. So the large supplies in the feedlot to move through, coupled with we know there's a lot of feeder cattle, we just don't know what the corn price is going to be, is pushing around, giving us some uncertainty about exactly what the feeder cattle price is going to be come October.
You've also put together some new numbers on the fall calf prices, the updated outlook there, which factors into this sell versus retain question we always bring up this time of year.
Yes, and I do that for that reason. I also do it for, you know, there's ongoing concerns about volatility in these marketplaces and what can I do. You know, getting rid of the volatility exposure is not free. One of the ways that we do that is try to inform people about what our best guess on the prices will be and what's it cost you to protect yourself. So that's what I was trying to do here today. Mm-hmm. The projections as of this morning for a middle of October Salina 5.5 weight steer sell are right at $160. That's actually a little more positive than the last time I pushed the pencil. That would represent about an $80 per cow return for somebody that runs a cow for $800 per year. I note that's actually better than last year, if that was to be realized. And that's a testament to demand being stronger than we anticipated, because we've moved more beef than we did a year ago. So on balance, that's a good story. For somebody that's entertaining retaining that animal, so instead of selling that steer in the middle of October, maybe holding until January, for example, here in Kansas, that's something we definitely talk about all the time. I'm using the beefbasis.com resource. I'm currently projecting a value gain of about $92 per hundredweight to put 200 pounds on between the middle of October and I believe it was January 10th is the date I used. That's pretty attractive for folks. I think a lot of people could put those pounds on for less than $92. I always note that's not a risk-free guarantee. There's obviously a lot of volatility in that market. But if you have access to cheap feedstuffs, the ability to put those pounds on, and you have the appetite to handle the market risk, that's a pretty attractive margin at the moment. To give some insight about those that are a little bit more set on selling maybe in the middle of October, and maybe you're concerned about price movement between now and October, we have a tool called K-State Feeder Cattle Risk Management Tool. It's a real creative name that Dr. Duvetter and I, most of those who remember Duvetter, pulled together. But the name does describe the tool. The point of the tool is to basically outline the expected net selling price of doing nothing. So that's kind of the cash strategy, implementing a futures hedge, buying put options, purchasing LRP contracts that the USDA offers, and then some more complicated strategies in there as well. And the punchline of that tool is to identify what the net selling price would be as of today if you implemented each of those strategies. And you can pull that up on agmanager.info at any time. We periodically update it. But to give a quick synthesis, as of this morning here on Monday, basically, if you were to implement the LRP strategy, which is to purchase an insurance contract from USDA, you could establish basically an expected floor of $140. The actual price would depend upon the final futures price when we got out to October. Conversely, a put option would be about $143, and then the futures hedge would be about $151. The actual prices, of course, will vary depending on where that CME contract settles. But the reason I share those numbers is, and this is the case every time I update the tool, the futures hedge strategy has the best minimum price, but it exposes you to the margin calls and the other cash flow uncertainties that not everybody's comfortable with. So you can kind of get a sense of what it will cost me if I want to establish a price floor, if you like, but get rid of that cash flow uncertainty. That's the purpose of the LRP or the put option. Mm-hmm. And you can do it, but you establish basically lower potential prices by doing that. That's the trade-off. And the point of this tool is to kind of estimate the cost of getting rid of that margin call uncertainty.
And as you said, you just updated this morning before you came on the broadcast, and folks can go to agmanager.info and plug into that as well, right?
Yes, they can. And moreover, these are kind of base scenario, presuming you're selling 90 steers around Salina, Kansas, the way I built it. There's instructions on that tool for our listeners that are elsewhere. So if you're here in Kansas around Dodge, you can tweak it. But more importantly, if you're listening outside of Kansas, you can actually pull it up and use Oklahoma City market prices or whatever the case would be and tweak the numbers. You can do this for 40 head instead of 91 head and so forth. The tool works the same no matter your situation.
By name, once again, it's the K-State Feeder Cattle Risk Management Tool at agmanager.info. And to close out here, you've an extra busy week, Glenn. You'll be appearing at least a couple of venues sharing your full outlook on the cattle trades.
Yes. So on Thursday, I'll be here in Manhattan. So our Department of Agriculture Economics has our Risk and Profit Conference. I'm unashamedly push that here for a moment. Sure. But I get to kick that off with an Outlook talk. I encourage folks to attend, not necessarily listen to me, but for all my colleagues that will be there on Thursday and Friday. And then on Friday morning, I'll be down in Emporia for the Flint Hills Beef Fest. And in both cases, I'll give a version of a beef cattle outlook. I encourage those that are interested to come. I always enjoy the Q&A that comes with that in the hallway discussion. So, you know, in our sessions like this, I can give some highlights, but those meetings, I have an opportunity to give more detail. And for those that have questions, it's a chance for them to corner me, whether it's publicly or in the hallway. So feel free to do that.
Take advantage of that opportunity, producers. Again, Glenn at the Risk and Profit Conference to open it up this Thursday, the 17th. And then at the Flint Hills Beef Fest educational session the morning of Friday, the 18th in Emporia. Good luck with all of those presentations, Glenn. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me on.
His latest observations on the cattle market trends, that's Glenn Tonzer. He's a livestock economist, K-State Research and Extension. We'll resume shortly with more. This is Agriculture Today.